We heard Lori Rubin singing Cantiga by Joaquin Rodrigo, and Maria Stroke was on the piano. Lori Rubin will be performing tonight here in Las Cruces at the Rio Grande Theater as part of the Las Cruces Civic Concert Association series. And it is my pleasure to welcome her into the studios, along with pianist Jenny Tyra, who will be performing with her tonight. Welcome to you both.
Thank you so much.
Great to have you here. So, Lori Rubin,
yes.
We just heard you sing Joaquin Rodrigo, a very wonderful Spanish composer who shared something with you, and you didn't know this until much later. Can you just tell us a little bit about this story?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, Joaquin Rodrigo was somebody that I always had enjoyed listening to his music on the radio and a lot of his guitar work and some songs. And it didn't even occur to me that we would have something that very much in common until I was listening to KUSC, which is a public radio station in Los Angeles where I grew up. And I think I must have been around 16 or 17 years old and just happened to hear the radio host. And I wasn't sure if I heard him right. And he said, and Joaquin Rodrigo happens to be blind. And I thought, oh, that is so cool. And because the thing is that, you know, my whole life I was loving classical music, but very little did I know that there were, you know, other blind people doing what I was doing in the same way and in classical music. So it was really exciting to finally, even though he wasn't alive at the time, that there was sort of this mentor who had done, you know, as a composer. So when I was putting the CD together with Bruce Adolph and Maria Stroke, we were thinking about repertoire, and I thought, what about Rodrigo? Because, you know, the whole Do You Dream in Color poem that is the title track of the CD is about my life as a blind person. And I thought, well, this will tie it together in a way because it's classical music that more people will definitely recognize. And it just goes to show that, you know, he's a classical musician that happened to be blind and that most people don't know it, but it draws attention to the fact that it doesn't matter whether or not he's blind and that he just was a great, wonderful composer.
I think he had sight till he was two or three or something.
Yeah, from diphtheria, he lost his sight, yeah.
Spent the rest of his life blind. So one of the things that you've done, in addition to bringing music to all sorts of people around the world, both as an opera singer, as an art song singer, as an author, you wrote a memoir that came out, I guess, about a year and a half ago, also with the title Do You Dream in Color, and a poet. But you've become a kind of inspirational speaker to a lot of people as well because of the message that comes through in that poem that you wrote, Do You Dream in Color, and that Bruce Adolph then set to music.
Right.
People asking you, and then towards the end, you have a series of vignettes of people asking you, do you dream in color? And then there's one person who asks, you know, do you have realistic dreams? And I just love the inclusion of that because, of course, realistic meaning lifelike, but also meaning practical. So, so you've had to resist a lot of naysayers in your life who didn't think that your dreams were realistic. And just speak to our listeners a little bit to that part of your life.
Yeah, you know, and to be honest, I think the reason that I was able to handle that is because I've had so much positivity in my life. I've had parents and my brother, you know, always telling me that I could do things, and I had, you know, friends who had gotten to know me over the years who told me that I could. And I used to go snow and water skiing, and there was never a problem. There were always ways that I could do that, and whitewater river rafting. And my parents used to joke that I was the one who wanted to be on the most dangerous part of the raft. You know, I always wanted to, you know, to do everything that everybody did and more, you know, and I was definitely, especially as a kid, a thrill seeker. But I think that when people did say no, no didn't exist in my vocabulary. And so I just sort of was like, no, what do you mean no? What does that mean? You know? And so I was always, you know, trying to figure out ways of dealing with that. And I always felt like in auditions when people would sort of beat around the bush and say, well, we would love to have you, but, you know, how is this going to work? And in fact, the people who did say how, at least were trying to figure out a solution. But there were a lot of people who just closed the door when they realized that blindness was a factor. And so, you know, I thought, well, in an audition, I can't go in there and say, hey, my name's Lori Rubin, I'm blind, but I can do everything. You know, that's not something you can do. So when Bruce asked me to write this poem, we had just done a concert at Merkin Hall in New York, and he had said, you know, I'd love to write a song cycle for you. Can you write a poem about being blind? And I resisted it because I thought, oh, I'm so afraid that I'm going to write something sort of hokey. And, you know, there's, I just, you know, especially when it's poetic, I was too worried that it was going to come across too sappy and all that stuff. But then I thought, well, here is an opportunity to finally tell the world in some way that I can get out through music what my life is like. And maybe it'll be educational as well as musical. And so it made me really excited. And once I came to that conclusion, it took me about an hour, and I wrote the whole poem down and I sent it to Bruce, and I thought, I know Bruce is way too long, so feel free to shorten it. And he didn't. And I was like, oh no, it was a 20-minute cycle, but it was just one of those things that, you know, we both wanted to get down on paper and get down in performance. And recently the coolest thing about it is that we've also just had our first orchestral performance with the LA Chamber Orchestra.
Of Do You Dream in Color?
Of Do You Dream in Color, yeah.
Oh, wonderful. And did he orchestrate it?
He did, yeah.
Uh-huh, mm-hmm. Uh-huh. That's Bruce Adolph, who I'm sure our listeners know as the piano puzzler man.
Yes.
But, so what made you want to write the book as well?
Oh, right, my book. Well, I think, the funny thing was that it sort of coincided with my writing of the poem. And I started writing the book first. And what it's interesting, this is where Jenny comes in, because the two of us were having dinner one time in New York, and I was venting to her about something that had happened that day. And this was something that wasn't new. I had been walking down the street with my guide dog, and my dog Mark, you know, the two of us were so used to just hanging around New York and just it really making it our oyster and going anywhere and everywhere together with no problem. But there was this one woman who had heard me in a competition, and she was one of the administrators of this kind of international competition that we had done. And I had made it to the finals of this competition. And after that final round, I was walking with Mark in New York, and this woman came up to me. She says, "Hey, Lori, oh my gosh, it's so great to see you. And I just wanted to let you know," and I thought she was about to, you know, say something about my performance, but what she ended up saying was, "I admire you for just getting up in the morning and just, you know, trying so hard and, you know, doing, you know, stuff that you just don't want to hear, you know, because, you know, to me, it's that stuff is just, you know, it's involuntary. I just do that because that's what you do when you're alive and living and wanting to just to live your life to the fullest. Is you get up in the morning and you go to work and you know, you do those things." And so what I was thinking to myself is, I want to be admired for the fact that I can do a pianissimo. You know, I don't want to be admired, or for, you know, the fact that I'm singing an aria that, you know, goes from one character to another, that kind of stuff. And so the fact that people weren't seeing past the blindness, it made me think, okay, I don't know, I need to do something. So Jenny and I were sitting at dinner and I said, "What am I going to do? You know, this is just too much already." And Jenny said, "Why don't you write a book?" And I'm sure a lot of people hear that, you know, because, you know, people have different stories. And I thought, well, who's going to want to read about my story? You know, it's probably really mundane. But, you know, it was one of those things that I had something that I wanted to say. And it turned out that when Bruce asked me to write the poem, the Do You Dream in Color poem, it was right in the middle of me figuring out what my book should be about. And he gave me, the poem gave me an idea. I thought, well, why don't I weave my perception of visual colors into the book? And so, for example, like one chapter would be preceded by a poem about how I envision the color red. And then the first sentence of the next chapter would be, "Red is the dress I wore when I sang with John Williams." So all of these colors relate to my life. And in fact, I make jewelry and I put on makeup and all these things that, you know, sort of defy the stereotype of the visually impaired or non-sighted. And so it was really great to be able to get that on paper and have it. And I have copies of that now. So shameless plug for the book for the concert tonight.
Lori Rubin is my guest. She'll be performing tonight at the Rio Grande Theater as part of the Las Cruces Civic Concert Association series. I understand that Kenny Loggins was one of your first inspirations.
Yes. When I was 4 years old, my mom used to play him in the car for me all the time. And I just, you know, I loved his music, but then my mom met him at the supermarket one time, and this happens in LA in these weird ways, but we were living in Encino, and that's where Kenny had a house, and they met in the butcher section, and my mom said, "My 4-year-old daughter has a crush on you," meaning I have a crush on you, right? And he was touched, you know, especially when the word blind daughter came up, and so he had us come backstage at his next concert, and the rest was sort of history. He had me had my family and I, we went skiing with him. We would go to Lake Tahoe, and my dad would become his unofficial photographer at various events of his, and he would donate toys to his Christmas Unity and Toys for Tots telethons and things. So it was a great relationship we had for a very long time, and it ended with me singing on his album. And when I say ended, it wasn't so much that it ended, it was just that That's when my brother went off to college and I went off to junior high school, and we just lost touch after a while. But he was really a fantastic mentor. I learned so much from him, and he still continues to be an excellent supporter of what I'm doing. So it's really a really lovely thing. And the funny thing is, I went from pop music to opera, and just last week, Jenny and I have branded a new duo, which we're calling Pure Land, and it's a pop duo. So we're now, it's like come full circle. We're doing classical music, and now we're also back to pop music as well. And we just had our new single called The Girl I Am, which is sort of about self-acceptance and anti-bullying message, is our first single. And we did that with the Momenta String Quartet, which is a fabulous quartet in New York. They played the string part. Jenny orchestrated the whole thing. She arranged it. She wrote the song, and I just wrote the lyrics. So it was a similar sort of collaboration to the Do You Dream in Color process.
So we have Jenny here as well. Jenny Tyra, who I just learned you really studied clarinet, studied with David Schifrin, one of the great clarinetists of our time, at Yale. And that's where the two of you met. And you're also a pianist and an arranger.
Composer.
And a composer. So tell us a little bit about your background, because I don't know much about you.
Oh, well, I was born and raised in Honolulu, Hawaii. And most of my life just played clarinet and piano, but I ended up going to college. I didn't know which one to pursue, so I ended up pursuing clarinet, although I think now lately I've been playing more piano. I've been working with Laurie the last 10 years. We've been performing mostly just concerts together, me accompanying her. And then, like she said, it's been a process in the last 2 years, kind of. We've been talking about it, but more seriously in the last few months, we really put together this pop duo that was like a new project in addition to what we've been doing. So, and it has clarinet on it.
Yay!
And are you playing the clarinet?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I always joke, I show up and sing, and I sing, but and she does everything else. She does the producing, she does the clarinet, piano, guitar, you know, all that stuff.
And you also have a music programmer school in Hawaii that you started, Ohana?
Mm-hmm. Ohana Arts,
Tell us a little bit about that. Either one of you.
Go ahead. You sure? Well, that's a cool thing, too. Well, when we were in New York, because Jenny and I were living in New York City for 7 years and performing, and we had started our own chamber music ensemble with some of our friends from Yale. And that was really fun and extremely rewarding. But we also felt like there was this other side of music that we wanted to explore more, and that was education. And Jenny, one day, it was one of those late night conversations that Jenny said, you know what I want to do? She's like, one of my dreams is to start a performing arts school and festival in Hawaii. And her inspiration for that was her time at Interlochen and the performing arts program, the camp and academy in Michigan. And she had won an Emerson Electric scholarship, which was given to one person per state. And if she hadn't gotten that, she said she would never have gone to a place like Interlochen because it's expensive to fly there. The tuition is exorbitant for most people. And it's just, it was such a great experience. She was exposed to people from all over the world who love to do what she does. And when you're in your own bubble, you know, whether it's Hawaii, LA, New Mexico, whatever it is, it's really hard to imagine what it's like to be around people from all over the place doing exactly what you do. And you realize how different culturally everybody is and how cool that is, but also how similar everything is, because, you know, we're all people and we're human and we bond about music. And especially classical music is such a sort of a genre that, you know, is, what shall I say, has its own cult following, right, in a way, you know. So, you know, she wanted that really incredible experience to be brought to more people in Hawaii, because we do live on a rock, and it's a fabulous rock, and it's a microcosm of so many different cultures. But we wanted to bring an experience like Interlochen to Hawaii.
We just have a couple of minutes left, and Laurie, I'd love you to just tell us a little bit about another piece that's on this CD, Noam Sivan's In the Mountains of Jerusalem with words by Leah Goldberg.
So Noam is a friend that became a really good friend really quickly, because our friend had he commissioned him to write a piece for me for his festival in Canandaigua Lake near Rochester. And so Noam and I met, and he wanted to write. I asked him, can you write a song cycle for me in Hebrew? Because I'm Jewish and I had done so much Yiddish in my life and Hebrew and in my bat mitzvah and all that. And I really wanted him to write something in Hebrew with that same chazanist cry, or like Jewish cry, that sort of you know, we all sort of feel as, you know, being having that blood. And so he did. And to me, it's one of the most amazing pieces I've ever sung, because most people will say, well, you're a mezzo soprano. You have to do something that's, you know, within this range and this thing. But he heard my voice and he heard that I had a high extension. And he also heard that I, you know, I do low, I can do lows. So he wrote this piece that is so dramatically, perfectly suited for my particular voice. And it's just, it was so great. But the cool thing too is that it's very operatic. Yeah. And so I love singing it. And it's all Leah Goldberg's beautiful poetry about wanting to find herself. And it's just beautiful.
I've been speaking with Lori Rubin and Jenny Tyra. Thank you both for coming in, and welcome to Las Cruces. The concert is tonight at the Rio Grande Theater. It's at 7:30, and it's part of the Las Cruces Civic Concert Association series.